You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, welcome on into First Take. It is our game week, our first one in the month of November, putting that ugly October behind us. The Saints enter good old Thanksgiving month, though, with a six-game losing skid. Steve Geller, along with Charlie Long and Coleman, here on First Take, bringing you to the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, 10 a.m., and we have a noon start in Carolina today against the lowly 1-7 Panthers, although I say lowly 1-7 Panthers, whew. They got one less win than the Saints.
So I remember we were joking with Mark Schlereth, who came with us. He comes on with us every Tuesday, one of our favorite guests every single week. He's just like, man, I really drew the short stick. I have the Titans versus the Patriots. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, rough awful. One, right?
It's like the NFC version of it. So, you know.
Yeah, looking at this matchup, Charlie, want to delve right into right away the LCMC health update because that's a huge storyline. LCMC health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Not only out for the black and gold in this matchup, we learned that 2 players have gone to injured reserve. Kendra Miller, the running back, is dealing with a hamstring issue. Also, wide receiver, the rookie Bub Means, and ankle. Both of those players landing on injured reserve for the Saints. Obviously, they will not be available. Corner, Marshawn Lattimore. Corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry. And then downgraded from doubtful to out, running back Jamal Williams. So those 3 players also out for the black and gold, making it a very interesting for the Saints coaches to deal with the running back and cornerback group for this team. Questionable for the black and gold, you got corner Rico Payton, wide receiver Cedric Wilson Jr., left guard Nick Saldiveri, guard/center Shane Lemieux, linebacker Nephi Sewell, defensive tackle John Ridgeway. Now the black and gold also had some roster moves, and they brought up from the practice squad Miller Bradford, Jordan Mims. There's some running back help right there. Also corner Shamar John Charles. And you look at also elevating Roderick Teamer, Trey Herndon from the practice squad, a safety and corner there, and they waive guard/center Kyle Hergel. Whew, I'm exhausted. We haven't even gotten to the matchups yet.
8 moves.
Yeah.
8 moves. So let's talk about, real quick, the running back room, and then we'll talk about the cornerback room because I think that's the way we should do it. Kendra Miller. Oh, man. How unlucky is this kid?
We barely got to know you.
A hamstring injury on the first day of training camp and misses the first 6 games of action. Comes back for the Broncos game, plays the Chargers game, gets hurt again. He has a total of 9 carries this year.
And what we're led to believe, too, that this is not the same hamstring, right?
Correct, Steve. It's the other hamstring that he injured, and now he's on the IR. So he started the season on the IR, played 2 games, got 9 carries, is back on the IR. What the heck?
It's brutal for him.
And so now you bring up Jordan Mims, you sign him to the active roster, and then you end up, basically, and we'll talk more about this, Steve, Taysom Hill is your RB2 today.
Yes.
Alvin Kamara is off. You know, he was limited this week, but he doesn't carry any injury designation, which is good news. He's probably going to be good to go for this game.
You know he's going to be limited all week the rest of the season with how many injuries he's dealing with. But Alvin's a trooper.
He's banged up because they're asking him to do so much.
He's playing with a broken hand.
Yeah, and they downgraded Jamal Williams to out. I'm sure you mentioned that when you were going through everything. So
that's brutal too, obviously, just because it's not like he's done much in this offense anyway,
either.
But get some relief for Alvin. But like you said, man, Taysom's definitely now RB2.
Taysom's RB2 because Jamal's out and Kendra's back on the IR. So it's Alvin, Taysom, and Jordan Mims.
Right.
That's your backfield right now. So that's, you know, part one. Moving on to the cornerback room, Marshawn is out. Rico Payton's questionable. As you mentioned, Kool-Aid's out.
Adebo's
out for the year.
Good thing we're playing the Panthers here with not many wide receiving threats.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I don't think Adam Thielen's playing in this game, but right, I think correct. Xavier Leggett is expected to play, the rookie.
Right, I think he's questionable.
Jalen Coker, like their undrafted free agent guy, that Anish Shroff was like gushing about him.
Right.
That he's
definitely a guy to look out for.
Yeah, that he's really made a name for himself early on, kind of almost like their version of our Rashid Shaheed.
Correct.
Right? Like some gem that they found undrafted free agent wise. So, you know, it seems like their weapons are a little bit dampered. Bryce Young's leading the attack, and I have the stats on Bryce Young versus the Saints, and let me tell you, they're not good. They're sticking with Bryce despite Andy being a full participant in practice this week.
Yeah.
That he doesn't carry an injury designation for this game. But after benching Bryce, I think all the way back in week three, they're going back to him. Because Andy gets into the car crash, and then he has a really bad sprained thumb on his throwing hand. So they go to Bryce against Denver last week. And you're thinking, oh my God, like he's got to face the Broncos defense. This kid's going to get killed. At the same time, he has a decent performance. A lot of the production came in garbage time, like once the game was already over. Apparently, like he led the first drive on a touchdown drive, and then kind of late he led a touchdown drive too against that Broncos defense, which Saints fans know from a couple weeks ago, really, really good defense. So they're giving the reins back to Bryce just in time for the Saints to be playing him. And Bobby said this all week. He's just like, I'm glad that we're playing, you know, he calls him Little Bryce, right?
Yeah.
Instead of Andy Dalton, because Dalton gives them a better chance to win.
Way more savvy vet that you'd think would be able to pick apart a secondary that's so depleted right now.
Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of two banged up rooms going against each other because, I mean, they also moved on from Deontay Johnson this week, Steve, sending
Crazy.
Him to Baltimore.
Right.
So that wide receiver room for the Panthers, it's effectively two rookies. It's Xavier Leggett and Jalen Coker. We don't think Adam Thielen's playing
today. I think they've ruled him out.
And they also moved on from Deontay ahead of the trade deadline, which is Tuesday, which we'll talk more about as well, Steve, because there's a couple of rumors buzzing around there as well. It's like those two and Jatavion Sanders, another rookie, tight end.
Right.
I don't think their new rookie, you know, running back Jonathan Brooks is expected to make his debut this week.
Correct.
So
elevate him.
In the rushing game, it's Chuba Hubbard.
And he's, you know, give him credit for the lack of run game that this Panther squad has because of the offense struggling so much and them having to pass the football. Hubbard's had a decent season.
Yeah. So as far as their rushing offense, it's, you know, 24th in the NFL, 104 yards per game. It's not great. But when you're looking at their stats as a whole, Steve, that's the best it really gets. As far as rushing offense, passing offense, total offense, rushing
right.
defense, passing defense, total defense, scoring offense and defense, 24 is the highest they get. The Saints got to win. I mean, it's funny because Mike joked about this as well, that when he was doing Panthers radio, they were looking at their schedules just like, if the Panthers don't beat the Saints.
Right, if there's one more game on this schedule that's a win, we could definitely beat New Orleans.
Exactly. But that's, it's how both squads feel about each other because they're both in the dumps. It's a 2-6 team versus a 1-7 team. So their rushing attack, Anish Shroff, they kind of previewed it, saying that that was where they can really get after you. The issue is they get behind so much early on
because right.
their scoring defense is so terrible that they have to throw the ball. And if they have to throw the ball, you know, 30, 40 times a game, the Saints got them right where they want them.
I thought it was interesting. We'll get into some of the audio we have in our sound bank. We have the Saints, Alante Taylor, Cam Jordan, Derek Carr. Also, of course, Deuce McAllister. Here's some of what he has to say about this team and their winning culture needing to be revitalized. But also, the Locked On Panthers host, Dez Johnson, he joined us on the Inside Black and Gold podcast and basically said that you mentioned with Andy Dalton being healthy, this is a owner decision of keeping with Bryce and not the coaching staff, who is really ready to move on from him already, it seems.
Stink basically called out, you know, are they really ready to move on from Canales?
Yeah, we'll hear from Dez Johnson, and he says that, no, not to Canales. Canales is ready to just go with Carr,
with
Andy Dalton, because he has not been impressed with what Bryce has been doing.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Stink was saying that basically at this point in the season where it's a lost year, you're 1-7, you are where you are,
yeah.
you're more competing for the first overall pick than any kind of potential late season run. He said that you owe it to your players to play the best players, is how Stink said it, and that you lose your credibility as a coach if you don't do so.
Right.
Granted, as you said, Steve, it's probably not his decision that Bryce Young's playing this game instead of Andy Dalton.
Well, we know it wasn't the coach's decision last year to even draft Bryce, and he's gone too. So,
yeah, I mean,
listen to what Mr. Tepper says, David, if you want to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, Saints fans should be happy that David Tepper is the owner of the Carolina Panthers because they are multiple years away from even becoming competitive.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic when you've seen what this organization's going through and just your talent that you've had, like a Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Brian Burns. We just saw you acquired a Deontay Johnson, and you've shipped it right back out of town, and you've got nothing to show for it.
The funniest part about Deontay was how openly, like, he made it known that he didn't want to be there. He came out in a presser and was just like, I can't play every position on the field. Like, oh my gosh. So, yeah, go enjoy Baltimore, you know, a team that has expectations in the AFC instead of, you know, rotting on this Panthers squad that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, what a turnaround right there. You end up from Carolina to Baltimore.
I know, it's almost like they did him right. It's kind of funny, right? Because he kind of made it known that he didn't want to be there. And like, okay, we'll ship you to a contender in the Ravens.
And really, for, what was it, an exchange too, you sent a fifth-round pick and got, what, sixth in return?
Yeah.
Or you got a fifth and sent a sixth, something like that.
We slammed them for kind of getting dimes on the dollar there. Like, they don't really get much at all for a player of Deontay Johnson's caliber, which I still think Deontay, I mean, he was their leading receiver. Not saying much because the Panthers receiving corps is not very good, but he was still their leading receiver and he was having a solid year. They get a fifth round pick and they have to give up a sixth round pick. It's like a swap. But at the same time, you get at least something for him because he was on a 1 year deal. He was going to be due a contract next season.
And like you said, clearly not happy.
Obviously was not going to be re-signing there. So, I mean, I guess you can credit Dan Morgan, the GM of Carolina, for at least getting something, you know, instead of just eventually letting him walk in the offseason.
This Black and Gold bunch, we went through the injuries. The good news is Derek Carr's back at least, so they'll have the veteran back under center. We haven't seen him in quite some bit, and definitely needed some kind of injection in this offense that's been really struggling to put up points, Charlie. We've seen just the, you know, Spencer Rattler and Jake Hanner trying their best to rally this team, but just I feel like both, you know, inexperienced young QBs put in a no-win situation for sure.
With the offensive line injuries, now the offensive
wide
line
receiver
is
injuries.
It's starting to get healthy. The wide receiver injuries, as you mentioned, Rashid Shaheed is now out. Chris Olave has missed time with the concussion, but he's now back. So yeah, I mean, it's been
Taysom was gone for a while too.
The injuries have slammed the offense, and so when you have to throw out those young QBs behind, you know, some backups and stuff like that, it's not the best situation in the world. So yeah, Derek Carr coming back, obviously huge for this team because, as you mentioned, the offense has sputtered in recent weeks, and you have, you know, a legit starting quarterback now under center.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, going to get into your calls. Also at 8:30, we'll be checking in at Carolina Bank of America Stadium, where our Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will give us a scene setter of all things going on in good old Charlotte this morning. I want to hear from you. Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line, folks, 504-260-1870. How you feeling this morning about game day? We kind of figure this is pretty much must-win territory for the black and gold.
Undoubtedly.
You're facing probably the worst team in the NFL. You got to prove that you're not in that mix.
It's the worst team. They have the worst record.
Well, now, if you don't win today, what does it say about you, right?
Exactly. You're right in that category.
Taking a break right here on First Take on WWL Saints Radio.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and Coleman bringing you till the Bud Light countdown to kickoff, which is 10 a.m. with the good old Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, getting ready to count down to the kickoff in Carolina, which is a noon start. And man, I kind of got spoiled, Charlie, with we had the primetime game Thursday night, then a 3 o'clock kickoff, and then whap. We got hit with the early one this week.
Exactly.
Had to get used to it. And luckily, I was saying to both you guys, the daylight savings, we were, you know, gaining the hour, not losing one for this morning.
It doesn't really feel like we did.
I know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, whatever. We'll deal with it. So, you know, we're ahead of this Tuesday trade deadline, Steve. I think there's some interesting storylines to talk about. When we talked to DA, he said that they're not in sell mode. When we talked with Mickey, he said, like, something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, that they weren't going to sell players for undervalued offers.
Right.
Right. So he didn't necessarily rule out any potential trades.
Right. You never do that. You never say, we're not doing anything.
Yeah. Now, DA was just like, yeah, we're not in sell mode. We're looking to improve. Right.
And sure.
I think they see, you know, this upcoming game against Carolina as a spot to
better
stop
improve.
The bleeding. That's the term we've continued to use. Just stop the bleeding.
We haven't had a win since September 15th. Just saying.
I mean, exactly. So, but then you have three straight home games. See what happens, right? So, but that's how they're kind of viewing it. As far as some trade rumors about the Panthers, because they're 1-7, they're not doing anything this year. Danny Rusini had posted this earlier, said the Panthers are getting multiple calls from teams interested in trading for former number one overall pick Bryce Young. At this time, Carolina is not considering moving him. The Panthers were encouraged by his improvements and overall commitment to the team and his return to the field last week. NFL executives around the league believe if Carolina decides to trade him, they'll get a better offer by waiting until the offseason anyways. As for the rest of the roster, teams believe Carolina is open to moving running back Miles Sanders and edge Jadeveon Clowney. So,
wow.
Clowney, Sanders, and then also there's kind of buzz that the Panthers are holding. Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports had said that they're basically holding out Thielen this week, and they could potentially move him. They have a game in Germany next week, Steve. It's either the second to last or the last game across
the international games.
Correct, across the pond. And so they could potentially trade Thielen before that Tuesday deadline, just like they moved Deontay Johnson. I mean, they're in full-on rebuild mode. They're just about to start selling pieces for parts at this point. They've already done it with Deontay Johnson. We'll see if they do it with Thielen, see if they do it with Clowney. Sanders is also apparently on the table. So, but apparently Bryce Young is going to be there for the rest of the season. Now, we'll see what happens with basically the final half of the year. I don't know how long he's going to be starting for, if he just completely flops like he has done against the Saints in the past. Steve, here's this, before we get back to the trade deadline stuff. Here's his stats against the Saints in his career. He's played them 3 times.
Lil Bryce.
Record 0-3. I think his record as a starter, by the way, is historically bad. It's 2-17, I'm pretty sure. So right. He's reaching some rare territory. His stats, passer rating of 56.4, 451 yards in 3 games, so averaging about 150 yards per game. 1 touchdown to 2 interceptions. And his completion percentage, 48%.
How? Woof.
Not even 50.
Right.
Anthony Richardson got benched for having a 44% completion percentage. Everyone was saying he was awful. And Bryce Young is just above that, 48% against the Saints. So, I mean, he has not had any type of success against Dennis Allen's defenses in the past. And they got to make it that same way today.
Yeah, Bryce definitely has had a rough go. And it doesn't seem like things are improving any from. And to be fair, they did invest in the offensive line in Carolina for this season. But, you know, you got Deontay Johnson and boom, 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 he's gone, and you really don't have much else around.
So ESPN's Adam Schefter had put this out as well, as far as quarterbacks that get benched.
Yeah.
Like rookie QBs or just young QBs. Based on this history, this is from, let's see, Evan Kaplan, who works for NFL Countdown with ESPN. Based on history, this looks like the beginning of the end of Anthony Richardson's time in Indianapolis. And the reason I'm going to conflate this is because it also has to do with Bryce as
sure.
well. From 2000 to 2022, there were 66 quarterbacks selected in the first round of the NFL draft, and 25 of those quarterbacks were benched at some point while on their rookie contract. Bryce was also benched while on his rookie contract. Mitch Trubisky is the only one who started a playoff game
Don't
or was
be
selected
in the same
to the
category
Pro Bowl.
With him.
He was the only one that started a playoff game or was selected to the Pro Bowl with the team that drafted him after being benched.
Ouch.
Yeah.
A positive news for Mitch.
Positive news for Mitch, but not good news for Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young, who are obviously off to kind of, you know, not great starts to their NFL career.
No, and hopefully we see the similar output from the Saints defense against Bryce Young like week one, because we were all hooting and hollering and jumping for joy then, and I think, what was it, the first play of the game was an interception.
Yeah, but that was to Will Harris, who's also out for the Saints. I mean,
You're giving me facts here. I'm daydreaming.
Yeah, no, let's be happy. But that's what
good news is, at least Tyrann Mathieu, who started the week with an illness, is a full go and ready to play today, because that was another name in that secondary that was banged up to start this week.
Yes.
And it was like, oh no,
well,
you can't
illness.
Be out without him. Yeah, it was illness.
Yeah,
right.
So but after, you know, being basically after that Wednesday, he was a full participant the rest
of the
week.
Get him that IV and out on the field,
yeah,
please.
Exactly. No, I mean, once again, the whole point in all this is that Bryce has been off to a terrible start to his career. Now, he posted all these, you know, season highs and completions and attempts and yards and even touchdowns in that game against the Broncos. But when you're comparing the stats to like the rest of the season, it's like that's like an average game for a lot of NFL quarterbacks.
Right.
And that's like a season best.
They're looking for any baby steps, any kind of positives from him.
I know. And Stink was really, really like he was brutally honest about what Bryce has been
saying
so far.
He's not
career.
An NFL quarterback.
He said he's tiny. He said he doesn't have NFL skill sets at this point. Now, teams are still interested in him because he was the former number one overall pick, and there's still something there, right? There's still, you know, Carolina obviously has been off to an awful start, but Carolina has also been a nightmare. They've been a complete mess.
Yeah.
He won at Alabama not based off of his frame. He won based off of his mind. He was able to dissect defenses, you know, and I don't want to say he's been ruined by Carolina, but he's just not mentally.
Shell-shocked for sure.
He's not mentally what he was.
No.
He was winning a Heisman at Alabama, and that was what made him go number one overall. And it's kind of interesting to see what the potential domino effect is, right, Steve, of like if you're seeing this quarterback that is gifted mentally, right, and he can read defenses and he can see the field and he knows exactly what he wants to do with the ball in any given snap, but he's not, you know, the most gifted physically, I don't think teams are going to take them that high anymore.
No, you're dead right there. And what we're going to do, take a break. When we get back, we'll get a scene setter from Carolina. Our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, will join us, talk about a little about what the weather's going on for today's game in Bank of America Stadium and everything else Saints right after this on First Take after the break.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
WWL. Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Happy to welcome in Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter on the scene in Charlotte. How's it going this morning, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I enjoyed that extra hour of sleep. This is my favorite NFL week of the year, just because of that alone.
Yeah, I was saying to Charlie, you know, we were back to these early morning starts, you know, with a noon kickoff, well, 1 o'clock over there, but it was definitely nice for the pregame to be gaining the hour instead of losing one. What's the weather like out there for you? I think pretty mild temperatures, right?
Yeah, this will actually be one of the cooler games the Saints play until they get to the actual cold weather games. I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, have some, you know, a little longer in their warm-ups because, you know, by game time it'll be up probably into the 70s, but in around 10 a.m. when you're really kind of getting those warm-ups in. It'll be a little chillier, but should be bright and sunny. Should be pretty comfortable out there.
You know, looking at the injury report, always been interesting this year for this black and gold bunch. And we got the news yesterday of obviously a guy like Kendra Miller going to IR. So is Bub Means, the wide receiver. But when you look at just the running back and corner position for this black and gold bunch, you got some pretty good questions going into this game if you end up having people that get banged up against the Panthers.
Yeah, depth is definitely a concern. The Saints signed Jordan Mims back to the active roster, which, as you mentioned, you know, he's in place of Kendra Miller, who is going on IR for the second time this season. You actually can return multiple times from IR, so the season isn't technically over, but obviously he's going to be out for at least a month. That's a bummer. He's a guy who just can't seem to stay healthy. Jamal Williams has been ruled out with a groin injury. He didn't travel with the team, so you really only have two running backs on the active roster right now, Alvin Kamara and Jordan Mims. So I expect we'll see some kind of role for Jordan Mims today. You'll probably lean on Taysom Hill as well at that position. And then Adam Prentice is there as well to maybe take some of that load. But yeah, that's a concern for this team. If you end up with a running back injury or two, you could be in serious trouble. And the same is true at cornerback. You signed Shamar John Charles. Rico Payton's dealing with a back injury. He didn't practice all week, but he does have a chance to play. It's a tough scenario because you're talking about a rookie who missed all 3 days of practice. I'd be kind of surprised if even if he's active, he's on the starting line, but we'll have to wait and see. Shamar is a guy who got a good bit of run in training camp on the outside because if you recall, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo missed a good chunk of time in camp. So he got some good run there, and the team does like him. So we'll see how that goes. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's out. Obviously, Lattimore is out. Paulson Debo's on IR. So, you know, those two spots. Yeah, if you're already thin going in, you're playing with backups, and then if you get a few more injuries, you could be in real trouble. I expect to see Alante Taylor on the outside, probably Ugo Amadi in the slot, because I think that's where you're a little more comfortable with Ugo. But we'll have to wait and see. If this game goes sideways for the Saints, I have a feeling it's going to be because they can't stop the pass.
Which is interesting because Bryce Young in his career against the Saints I read the stats, Jeff. They're not very gaudy. It's like a 48.5% completion percentage, 150 yards per game, one touchdown, and three games played. So, but at the same time, who he's throwing to is pretty interesting as well. Deontay Johnson got traded to the Baltimore, as we know. And then Adam Thielen is basically, I think, being held out of this game. He could potentially get traded as well. And now you're looking at a pair of rookies basically leading that wide receiver room and also the tight end room, I guess, to a lesser extent with Jatavion Sanders. But Xavier Leggett, Jalen Coker, the undrafted free agent that people in Carolina keep raving about, that seems to be like it's kind of like weakness versus weakness right now because the Saints cornerback room is so banged up and just the Panthers passing attack doesn't have a lot of experience behind it.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Mingo would probably be a guy you see get good run as well. He played against the Saints last year. He's a second-year player. I'd say the Saints are fortunate to be this thin at the cornerback room in this matchup, which is probably the one you're the least concerned about in terms of beating you on the outside. But that's why, I kind of put this in my preview column. Like, one of the things that's vitally important today is you have to be able to stop the run. And you have to be able to do it without devoting a ton of extra manpower to that. Like, you can't be stacking the box knowing what you have on the outside because you're going to want to give help probably to whoever plays across from Alante Taylor, right? Like, you're not going to be able to just say, hey, throw this guy out on an island and see what happens. You're going to want to be able to roll some extra coverage. So it's going to require the front seven to stand up and, in some cases, the front six, right? And so it's going to be on that defensive interior. I actually think Colin Saunders has been – something of a bright spot for this team over the last several weeks. Obviously, there's been issues stopping the run, but I do think as he's gotten more comfortable, as he's worked back from that calf injury, you've seen him have some really nice games. I thought he played really well against Kansas City. Thought he played really well last week stuffing the run. He got a sack. So I kind of think you're going to see Colin get a bigger chunk of the pie at the defensive tackle position as you go. I know this is a matchup that the Saints defense has to show up in. Yeah, you feel a little better knowing that you have Derek Carr back on the opposite side because you'll feel like you'll be able to put up some points. That's been kind of the biggest issue, in my opinion, is not only was the defense struggling to get stops and get off the field efficiently, it felt like, hey, whenever you would send the ball back to the offense in a positive situation, it would sputter, it would stop, the car wouldn't start, whatever you want to put it, you turn the key and nothing happens. And so hopefully that changes because I think if you can get some points on the board early in this game, that's a Panthers team that I don't think believes it's going to win. And in those situations, you just want to put the game away early and play from ahead and play on your terms. I'm not worried about what Bryce Young is going to do. If you allow him to hang around in this game and gain confidence throughout the first half, it could go against you. You're on the road. You haven't won a lot of games. You've lost six in a row. This Panthers team hasn't won a lot of games either. One of these teams is going to come out with a win today and be feeling reasonably good about themselves, and the Saints better hope it's them.
I know you got there in the evening last night in Carolina. Have you seen much or any Panthers fans out there? And is there a lot of powder blue and black walking around or not really?
No, well, like you mentioned, we got in pretty late, so I wouldn't say I've been able to get out and about.
Right.
We'll see how it goes at the stadium. I am curious to see whether Saints fans travel for this game. I have to imagine it was an affordable ticket. Let's phrase it that way. I'm not sure. I can't say high or low whether the Panthers fans are feeling particularly good about themselves. I can't imagine they are. So we'll have to see. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a sparsely attended game, if that phrasing works.
No, attendance in Bank of America Stadium, I know, is not too great as it is. When you have this kind of matchup, even though it is division rivals, I can't imagine that there's much excitement from either sides, honestly, for the game.
No, I mean, that's the product of when you have a 2-6 team going up against a 1-7 team. I can't imagine this will be particularly high on the league pass rankings this week.
When you look at this matchup, though, Jeff, one last one. You look at the matchups. Is there anybody on this Saints side, offensively or defensively, that you consider an X factor for this matchup that has to do well in this game for this team to come away with a win? Is it the quarterback?
Oh, it's got to be the quarterback. It's got to be. And I mean, that's if you're a Saints fan, and I consider myself one of these kind of these pie in the sky idealists of like, I'm going to keep hope until it's like pried out of my cold, dead hands. It's it's kind of how I view sports in general. It's like, hey, you know, no, there's nothing cooler than a team that's been left for dead, kind of going full Undertaker and sitting up in the coffin and going back for another round. And if you're one of those people, you have to be looking at Derek Carr and saying, hey, yeah, this has been a struggle without him. When he was in there, this looked like a functional team capable of winning. He had a few tough losses, but you were in these games, and a few things go differently and they go your way. It has to go back to the quarterback, and he has to go out there and not only play well, but play in such a way that kind of gives you some optimism. Because the only way this thing turns around, and I know a lot of people have already given up on it turning around, but the only way it turns around for the Saints is if you go out there and you win this game, and you win it in such a way that you kind of can build confidence and swing that forward into the next 2 weeks before the bye and put some wins together and string some wins together. And for that to happen, it's going to fall on the quarterback. He's the veteran. He's the guy that makes this offense go. And so, yeah, he's the ultimate X factor. Because if you go out there and you look like you did the last 3 weeks, even if you scratch out a win, that's going to be tough to sell in terms of like, oh, yeah, we're going to get this thing back on track. We're going to move things in the right direction. So you really want to go out there. You want to play a clean game. You know, this coaching staff has talked about, hey, the details, you're focused on the details. Well, the details have to look good. You know, you have to execute the details. And if you can do that, you can get a win. You can end the skid and look at it and say, hey, this is where we start a winning streak. Then that's great. Then you can, you know, build off that and all the things you're going to say going into next week, you can at least believe. If you can't do that, if the offense continues to be stuck in the mud against a very beatable Panthers defense, then I don't know how you can kind of say those things with a straight face. So to me, that's what it comes down to is this team different with Derek Carr, and can this offense be one that is capable of winning the games? And I think today is going to go a long way in coloring that conversation.
Beatable is a really funny word for the Panthers defense, Jeff. I mean, it's a complete flip from last week. You go from the top-ranked scoring defense in the NFL with the Chargers to quite literally the 32nd-ranked scoring defense with the Panthers. They're giving up just under 34 points per game. But one thing that also stood out to me as far as their 31st-ranked total defense, they have the worst rushing defense in the NFL, 154.6 yards per game allowed. So, I mean, the Saints aren't that far ahead. They're at 28th. But you're going up against the worst rushing defense. Now, I know you're without Jamal Williams, you're without Kendra Miller, as we talked about. Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara, I mean, this could be a good game for them to kind of get off without Derek Brown available.
Yeah, I think the Panthers and Saints are kind of dealing with a lot of the same stuff, which is, you know, you could have a good defense, but if your offense isn't sustaining drives, isn't putting up points, and you're leaving any defense on the field for the whole game, the numbers are not going to be your friend, particularly in the run game, because you're going to get worn down. You're going to start giving up chunk plays. The biggest issue for the Saints has been chunk plays allowed. I think they lead the league in like 50-plus yard plays allowed or some stat like that. And that's where it's got to change, and that's where you've got to – and if you can keep your defense fresh, defenses are going to look a lot better when they're going out there and they're not gassed after the first play they're on the field. And, you know, I'm sure the Panthers' defense probably feels the same way in that, like, hey, we could do the best we can. We force a punt. We give it back to them. Their offense is getting the ball three plays later. That's a problem. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's where this offense, I think they excelled early in the season. They sustained drives. They scored on, what, the first 15 possessions? Of the season, and like your defense is going to benefit from that. So I think it's got to go. It's got to be on both sides of the ball. Like you can't just say, "Hey, the defense isn't good enough." What are we going to figure out? It's like, no, the offense plays a big part in your defense being efficient and being fresh, and especially in a game like this where you're undermanned, that's even more important. So yeah, I think it goes on both sides. If the Panthers can sustain offense, if they can take advantage of the Saints DBs and protect their defense, then I think their defense is going to look a lot better. So. I think this is going to come down to, okay, which side can execute on both sides of the ball? And if the Saints can do that, they should win this game going away. If they can't, if they're putting their defense out there and drive after drive after drive the way they did against the Chargers, who really didn't do much on offense either, you're going to see a similar game. So to me, that's what it's about.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. You can hear him along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and color analyst Deuce McAllister, noon kickoff on WWL Saints Radio. Thanks so much for the time, Jeff, and we'll be hearing for you more later in the game. Hopefully you guys come home with the team and that victory.
For sure, y'all. Thanks.
Going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, get into some of our sound bank. Want to hear from you all as well on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Happy Daylight Savings, Hoot Dad's going to be back with more right after this on First Take after the break on WWL. Welcome back into week 9 of the NFL season, folks. We're here on First Take getting ready for Saints at Panthers, a noon kickoff on WWL Saints Radio coming up at 10 a.m. The Cajun Cannon sounds off on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. One of the big issues for this game for the Saints is the concerning secondary. You don't have Paulson Adebo. We know he's on injured reserve. No Marshawn Lattimore.
Yep.
He's dealing with a hamstring issue. No Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's dealing with a hamstring issue.
Yep.
You just worry about what you actually have available. We also know who is questionable with the back injury.
Rico Payton,
right. A youngster.
It's like a preseason secondary.
Except for Alante Taylor.
Yeah, Alante's the dude.
Who's our stud right now leading the way.
I mean, when we were talking about like the good young players on this team, Alante Taylor's in that number.
Definitely in the mix, right.
Yeah, he's been awesome in the slot. But entering the year, like he was talking about having to play this slot, he's just like, oh, I view myself as an outside corner, but
yes.
You know, I'll do whatever the team asks me to do. Well, they're going to ask you to play outside today, Alante, with all the injuries to Kool-Aid, to you know Marshawn, Paulson out for the year. So Alante's going to get his shot to play outside.
Taylor was asked, what did he work on moving back outside from the nickel due to injuries?
Yeah, you know, I'm back at home, I guess you could say, but I'm really just trying to figure out what can I do to maybe give us a better chance at winning games. You know, people are going to talk about, I don't know, I'm kind of being consistent and I kind of have these bad plays here and there. But, you know, I'm just kind of looking at the negative side of it for me personally and just saying, like, how can you take away those negative things? So I'm really just taking one day at a time, one rep at a time, and I'm trying to figure it out still. But I think the best thing I can do right now is just continue to fly around. You know, I'm in this different leadership role now with our corners down. So I have to make sure I give a better example to the younger guys and lead them in the best way possible.
Taylor's been playing the slot for this black and gold bunch. And how is he handling, though, that shift to being back on the outside?
Well, at this point, I guess I'm used to it, right? You know, I've always said I'm a corner. I've gotten comfortable playing the nickel. I feel like I've done really well with that. So, you know, being back outside, it's not like I have to figure my feet out or figure something out. I feel like I'm comfortable out there. And, you know, with Ugo playing in that nickel right now, you know, I can communicate with him. And being back outside, I have the sideline now, right? So my technique is going to look a little different for me. But like I said, I'm in a different leadership role right now. And so playing nickel and playing corner is something that, you know, I have to continue to explain to the other guys whatever their role is. Like if they forget or something like that, they know they can look outside to me and, you know, I can make sure I get them where they need to be.
Alante Taylor's got to be that dog now for this Saints team in the secondary. He's got very limited experienced help.
Yeah, but talking about like the sideline that he's able to work with, it's a different spot. But he's comfortable in more working outside. He learned how to be a slot corner and a nickel. So, you know, I think he'll be all right. I think he'll look good today.
Coming up, a news break and then another hour of First Take before we get into the Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up at 10. So stay right there, folks. Be right back. Welcome into First Take, getting ready for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up at 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And then, of course, game time in Carolina against the 1-7 Panthers will be high noon in Charlotte. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak on the call of the game. Looking forward to hopefully getting back in the win column. Have to get back in the win column this game. The black and gold have lost their last 6 in a row, Charlie. It has been a brutal haul. I know for the fans, for the players, and obviously for Saints Radio too. We've had it's a rough go dealing with this for us too.
Yeah, so I did one of my Sunday reports. I called it, they've been thrown a life raft, right? Because you have this game against the worst team in the NFL, and then you have 3 straight home games.
Right.
And we'll see what happens, right, in this next 4-week stretch. But it's got to start with the win today. This is, as I mentioned, the life raft game against the worst team in football. Let me read down some stats real quick for you, Steve. Because the Saints have now moved to 7.5.
How bad are they?
7.5-point favorites in this game on the road. That's how bad the Panthers are. It's like this started at, I think, 7, and it's apparently money's coming on the Saints because it's moved up. And the difference, for those that don't sports bet, the difference between 7 and 7.5 is actually pretty giant.
Right.
Because you're going from a touchdown to saying, okay, this team's going to win by more than a touchdown. Because if they win by 7, then it's a push, and it doesn't really matter.
And it definitely feels icky because they're the road team here, too.
And there's 7. That means, and you got to account for a couple points. Granted, it's not like the Panthers really have a great home field advantage. I mean,
it's kind of rude to say, but it just kind of is what it is. But typically, when you're counting home field advantages, it's worth a couple points, 2, maybe 3 points.
Correct.
So they're saying on a neutral field, the Saints are likely 10 points better, even with this 6-game losing skid, than the Panthers are.
Yikes.
That's just kind of how it is. So, and this with Derek Carr coming back, because now they have a legitimate NFL quarterback under center. Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler, they're both still young. Loomis has expressed his confidence in them. He's reaffirmed it that, you know, he's still very high on both guys, but they're still young. They still need time. I think DA said that Rattler specifically needs, quote-unquote, like time to bake in the oven or something. He used like a weird term.
We saw that. He looked a little bit unfinished out there, obviously.
He looked a little raw. Yeah. And so they both need some time to kind of develop and learn from, you know, the tape that they put out there. But now you have Derek Carr back. And Derek Carr's a savvy vet. He's been around the block a little bit. But I'm going to throw out some stats before we get back into some more sound, Steve. The Panthers' scoring average ranks 29th in the NFL, 15.5 points per game. Scoring defense, they ranked 32nd, last in the NFL.
How many teams are there? 32.
Exactly. 33.9 points given up per game.
Oof.
I mean, that speaks for itself. It's an average margin of loss of 18 points per game. That's where the Panthers are. As far as total offense, they're 29th in the NFL, 281 yards per game. Rushing offense, this is their, as I mentioned, their best stat, 104 yards per game from the rushing attack. Chuba Hubbard is the one guy that really kind of scares you in this matchup, because as far as the bite that I used for Sunday morning, Anish talked about, the Panthers still have a solid offensive line. They spent a lot of money on Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis to kind of bolster their guards. He called it like a top 5, top 10 unit in the NFL. The issue is that they fall behind so early, so they can't really utilize the run because you're playing catch up basically the whole game. Passing offense, 177 yards per game, 30th in the NFL. Total defense, 31st in the NFL, 387.5 yards per game. Rushing defense, this is the stat that I brought up when we were talking with Jeff, and this isn't all just on, you know, the fact that their offense is leaving them out to dry. It's 32nd in the NFL last, 154.6 yards per game. And I think it has a little bit to do, you know, they move on from Frankie Louvu, who is a linebacker that Saints fans will know because he gave the Saints some trouble.
You know it.
He's in Washington, and now he's kicking butt. So, you know, that was obviously I don't want to call it a mistake by Dan Morgan, but, you know, they let him walk. He goes to Washington, and he's still playing really good football. At the same time, you know, 154.6 yards per game given up on the ground. They lose Derek Brown in week one in that Saints game. That was their stud on the interior defensive line.
Right.
Without him, they have not been able to stop the run. So you have a couple of interior offensive linemen back with Lucas Patrick and, you know, Cesar Ruiz both playing last week. You know, you're expecting to potentially be able to run the ball even without Kendra Miller and Jamal Williams available, because you have Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill available. And then finally, you know, if you want their passing defense, it's 25th. So they're bottom 10 in every single category, Steve.
You have to show up in this game. We can't stress that enough. You know, the Panthers are looked at as the bottom feeders in not just the NFC, in the entire league.
Correct. And it's a 2-6 team versus a 1-7 team. So it is what it is. But we have this text on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from, let's see, 4818. Hard to take as a Saints fan that we're only being a 7.5 point favorite over the worst team in the NFL. I mean, but that's kind of how you can see it, because this Saints team, the largest margin of victory for the Saints in this series came in week one in that 37-point blowout at the Superdome when they won 47-10.
Right, that's an outlier.
The biggest blowout that the Saints have ever had against the Panthers. This, in fact, has been a pretty tight series throughout its history. The Saints owned the series lead 31-28, so it's been pretty back and forth. They've kind of dominated the Buccaneers historically. The Falcons has also been kind of back and forth, but it's been a lot more in favor of the Saints within the past 20 years. But the Panthers were the one team that Sean Payton didn't really dominate, right? We've talked about that before. Now, the Saints have kind of taken care of Bryce Young within the past 2 years. He's 0-3 against them in his career, so they've kind of gotten the edge there. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you look at the line, Derek Carr's coming back, and this is a Saints team that's been on a 6-game slide, and they've lost a lot of games by a lot of points recently, but they're going on the road to Carolina, and Vegas is still like, this Carolina team is this bad. We're making them 7-point favorites, and money's come on the Saints to that they've bumped them to 7.5.
It's wild.
So that just kind of tells you, like, what you're seeing here from Carolina.
You obviously mentioned the big one for the black and gold, Derek Carr, the veteran back under center. He was dealing with an oblique injury and missed some time, and he describes what exactly he was going through. Here's a clip of what Carr had to say.
It wasn't the most painful thing I've ever dealt with. It really wasn't. It wasn't really painful. It was just a lack of being able to do my job. And so that was the most frustrating part because I couldn't just play through it. You know, I just literally couldn't do it. And so it's been the most frustrating injury I've ever had, besides breaking my ankle and not being able to play in the playoffs, you know, that year. But this is the most frustrating because there's literally nothing that I could do but wait and just let it heal.
What could you not do?
Throw. sneeze, cough, hold my kids. There was a lot of things that, you know, my daughter ran up to me, like, you know, we get home, she sees me the next morning and she comes running up and I went to grab her and I was like, nope. So it was tough. You know, I think not being able to hold my kids was probably the hardest part.
Now, Derek Carr dealing with an injury that a former Saints quarterback, Drew Brees, know a little bit about. He dealt with the same thing. So Carr did the smart move, texted Brees about dealing with this injury, and here's what Carr said Brees told him.
You know, I said, hey, I know you had this back in this, you know, year, you know, was and things like, just make sure your mechanics, you know. He gave me other advice, but he's like, just don't let your mechanics suffer to just try and get back on the field, because then, you know, you won't feel the same. And so, you know, for me, it was about every part of the stages, every part of the process was making sure that I kept all of that right, whether it was at 5 yards, 10 yards, or, you know, 50 yards. You know, I just made sure, you know, that, you know, I have to be able to do it the right way to make sure that I don't have to do my best to make sure there's no setback.
Now, we haven't seen Carr dealing with this injury since Monday Night Football at Kansas City. He's missed the past couple of games and is obviously pretty darn anxious to get on the field for kickoff in Carolina.
Well, we got 9 weeks that are promised to us, right? And, you know, or 10 weeks, whatever week this is, right? And there's just a full commitment just from myself to our guys. You know, when I get back, I'm going to be a psychopath. I'm going to be crazy about the details and everything, because we only get one shot at this, you know? And so I don't have any promises. I don't have anything except I'll promise great effort. I'll promise, you know, long nights and early mornings, you know, to make sure that we're at our best.
You heard Carr there talking about he was coming back as a psychopath today in Carolina, and really stressed to the fact to fans and to the media here that this black and gold bunch has not given up on the season.
You either give up or you fight. And I really believe our team's going to fight. I really believe that, just from what I felt at practice today, what I felt in our meeting room, the attention to detail, the guys are asking questions, the give up factor, that this isn't, it's not in the locker room. And I think where you put your finger on that is, like, who are you bringing in your locker room? And I really feel like we have great leaders. I really feel like we have great people, great men. And our coaching staffs are on the same page. Usually when you see that stuff start happening, it starts there. You know, and you see, you feel the tension with this and this and this. Just being honest with you, I've seen it more times than I'd like to admit. And then it trickles down, because what's that position hearing in their room when the door's closed? What are they hearing? You know, and there's none of that. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone, you see them communicating. That's stuff I watch for, you know, just been doing it a while. And our guys are doing that. So we're doing all the right things. We're trying our best. Now, does that promise us great results? No. We gotta put the work in and go do it on Sundays. But it does give us a better chance than doing it the other way.
6-game skid, obviously the team now 2-6 on the season. And you start looking at the rest of the standings around the NFL and you get a little, you know, hesitant or a little doubtful about what you're able to achieve going the rest of the year. And we heard him saying there, like, this squad, this team, the players still believe, they haven't give up. Carr was asked, how do you stay the course when things are dark?
This game can turn so quick. And so you just try and stay positive. And the main thing is you got to put the work in and do things the right way. And so if we hold each other accountable peer to peer to make sure everyone's putting that work in, it usually turns around.
Carr also mentioning that Coach Dennis Allen did have a talk with team captains as things were looking pretty grim.
DA has the captains meet, like, off and on, but once a month, like, for a dinner. And we had that this week, and I think he was looking for some information. I was like, and all of us to a man were like, we're good. Locker room's good. Double D, myself, Cam. Did we put ourselves in a certain situations that's tough? Absolutely, we did that. Injuries, all that, none of it matters. We're in that position. And so, you know, where are we right now? I say we're in a pivotal place, right? We gotta win. You know, that's where we're at. But we're also in a good place mentally. You know, our locker room, the mentality, the way guys are flying around at practice, because I've been around it, man, where it goes the other way and practice just feels dull, feels dead. You try and motivate a guy, he won't do it, all that kind of stuff. I've seen it, you know, and that was not the case with our team.
Derek Carr talking about this black and gold bunch. Obviously, he's back in the mix, and looking to overcome that six-game skid right now, and it's pretty daunting task, but you look at it, you can't go on a win streak until you get that getting going, and obviously Carolina, man, this is a game prime for the picking against a Panthers bunch. We've gone through the numbers. We know how dysfunctional, obviously, ownership is.
Oh, yeah.
pretty much, you feel like the coaching staff right now, at least talking to some of the Carolina folks, feel like that the Dave Canales was ready to stick with a guy like Andy Dalton. But this is coming from Dave Tepper that he wants to see more of Bryce Young.
Well, this goes back to what we were saying about Andy Dalton probably gives them a better chance to pull off the upset against the Saints. And I think if Andy Dalton was starting, the line would not be 7.5 points for the Saints in Carolina.
Maybe around four. Or maybe not. That's maybe two. Maybe six and a half.
Yeah, it would have been a difference.
I don't want to say Andy Dalton's going to move the needle that much.
It would have moved the needle, though.
A little bit, yeah.
It definitely, I think the reason why the Saints are as heavily favored as they are is because they're playing Bryce Young, who's been so bad against them in his career. Now, as far as the Saints offense goes, and Derek Carr returning, it is a welcome return. Because the last couple of weeks where he's been out with an oblique injury, just recapping, The Saints put up 27 points in the second quarter against Tampa Bay, and then they didn't score in the second half. They didn't score in the first quarter either, but they didn't score in the second half. Against Denver, they put up 3 points for the first three quarters of the game, and then they score that late touchdown with Jake Haener. So they put up 10 points. And then against the Chargers, who had the best defense in the NFL, they put up, well, I guess technically 6 points because the 8 came from the safety as well.
Correct.
It's been nothing.
Stuck in the mud.
The offense has not had juice. And so you're hoping that, it provides a jolt, right, with Carr coming back. And, I mean, it doesn't get easier as far as going up against an opposing defense than what you've seen from Carolina. I already read the numbers. They're at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, hopefully the negative output from both the Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, and the offense and what they were able to do doesn't have any lingering, effects on both young quarterbacks.
No, I don't. You got to take it in stride, right? You got to take it as a learning experience.
Yeah, at least they weren't getting killed, where there was a ton of sacks.
No, I don't think so. And so, but you got your NFL snaps. You got a couple plays under your belt. You got drives under your belt. You got to kind of take it as that learning experience, right? I mean, Derek Carr is the starter of this team. So they knew that he would eventually be back. The oblique injury obviously wasn't season ending. It was just going to be a couple weeks. They didn't tread water without him, though. And so now he's back. And he said also as well, Steve, I know that we had this clip at some point that we played during the week, that he's not going to be like the savior of this team or anything like that. But he's still a welcome change because the offense just has not operated.
But he will be a maniac.
Yeah, he's going to be a psychopath.
That's it, psychopath.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Looking forward to hearing from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Who dat's 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, some more sound. Hearing from one of the team leaders in Cam Jordan. See what he had to say as his black and gold bunch is in Carolina looking to snap a six-game skid. Be back with more of First Take after this here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. The New Orleans Saints partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience as mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Make sure you go online, check that out. We're back here on First Take getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff, where the Cajun Cannon Bobby Aberle will get you ready for a noon start in Carolina against a Panthers squad that has not won a game, well, one game all season. They haven't won in a while, too. The Saints on a six-game skid. Obviously, team leadership for this black and gold bunch has been called upon to rally the team and try to find a way to get back into the win column. One of those guys on the defense, Cam Jordan, the defensive end, talked about the current outlook on this season from the player's perspective.
With 9 opportunities left, we have to find a way, walk, crawl, claw, whatever it is, to find a solution. I clearly don't know what that solution is, or else we wouldn't be sitting here 2-6. Whether that's up top, down low being the players, anything in between, hell, the equipment guys, whatever it takes to get us back into the win column. I know Carolina's having their problems, but we've never been worried about anybody outside of our locker room. We got to focus on us and what that takes. So anybody who takes a field has to have that mentality.
How tough has it become, like week after week, six games losing streak, and you're there for something like this?
Man,
how tough is it to say positive?
Hey, on the on a double spectrum of never been in a losing situation and never been in a situation that I'm in this year currently. Had you told me previously what had been going on, I'm like, hell yeah, we've got nothing but talent and possibilities. You don't foresee injuries. You don't foresee given roles. You don't, you know, foresee you ever losing this many games in a season, let alone in a row. So you have to focus. There's nothing to be happy about. At the same time, there's nothing but a possibility to bring positive energy into it. You got to speak life not only to the game, you got to bring it to practice each and every day.
One thing with a team, Cam Jordan, you know, talked about, obviously, no quit in this black and gold bunch. It's the biggest insult you can give to, I think, a team, a players. Here's what he had to say.
Even right now, 2-6, there's still 9 possibilities. So there's still a lot of success to be had. You have to be able to find the solution and grasp it now. I don't think there's like, oh, the season's long. No, we're halfway through.
Recognizing the time is now, the season is not long anymore. Obviously, 2-6 on the team on the season. Time running out to get into not only the win column, but back on the plus 500 side of things. You're way in the dumps right now. Why does Cam Jordan have faith in this black and gold bunch?
Faith can always be shaken, but it doesn't disappear. So my faith is still the Saints are going to figure out a way to win somehow, someway. And at the end of the season, if that's not the case, then I'll adjust it then. But in my mind, we're going 11-6.
That's a big, big optimistic outlook from Cam. What does he feel needs to change on the defensive side of the ball to get there?
I was going to throw out, you know, like, hey, we can get more sacks on D-line. We can get more pressures. We can be more gap sound because, I mean, prior to this last game of them averaging like 2.5 a clip from the running back spot, I think it was like 6.5, you know, 300-400 yards on the ground, and that's embarrassing. So to have a game like Chargers and still not come out with the win, you go to the halftime with the score was what, 5-9? So, you know, you look at it like that is that at halftime, the last 4 or 5 games, you've looked at them like, all right, we're in a position, striking distance or ahead of the game. We have to be able to take the lead or keep the lead. We haven't been able to do so. So it's not confidence in the first half, ultimate confidence. There needs to be confidence and strength in the second half. So whatever that is to finish out the last 30 minutes.
Cam Jordan also asked, back again on that perception that this black and gold team has not been bought into what the coaches are doing, at least.
DA's had a meeting with the captains. Captains have had a talk just between ourselves. We've had talks with our position groups. Talking is talking. Until we walk in, it's going to be hard for people to be like, oh, they're bought in. I'm bought in. There's blood to be bled, and I'm always going to believe black and gold.
Do you guys have a team-wide players meeting?
Not yet. It's probably happening soon, though. I mean, I think that everybody understands exactly where we are. And I feel like when people aren't bought in is when you have, like, a team meeting. I feel like this is something that you feel in the morning meetings. This is something you feel in the locker room. This is something you feel at practice, how everybody wants to win and talks about winning and still talks about winning. So there's not a dire need of, like, oh, he's not bought in. It's a dire need of it's time to prove that we are a winning organization.
Been up really rough up front on that D-line for this black and gold bunch this year. We've seen sometimes the inability to put that pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And man, oh man, obviously the run defense has been a huge issue, Charlie, no matter it seems what back they end up facing.
Yeah, and the passing, you know, defense has been okay, but the issue is now that they've been decimated by injuries back there. So we have an update as well. Steve, New Orleans South Football's Nick Underhill reporting Rico Paton is now doubtful. He's been downgraded to doubtful for today.
Take another name out that secondary mix.
It's just like, who's playing cornerback? It's Alante, I guess, on one side, Shamarjon Charles on the other, and then you got Ugo in the nickel. I mean, but if anyone gets hurt, like, what's next?
Right, you're going to have to start pulling JT Gray from special teams to start contributing in the secondary.
Yeah, correct. And, I mean, Trey Herndon, who I think you just pulled up.
Right, exactly.
That's basically what you're looking at for this cornerback room. Granted, it's against Bryce Young.
Taysom Hill, just throw him out there in the secondary.
Yeah, just have him play safety, right? Wasn't that what DA said, like, if Hill could play defense, he'd have him play at safety, I think?
Might be needed today. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Jokingly aside, though, yeah. Definitely good to have Taysom Hill back in the mix last week. Still want to see more of his involvement in this offense, and I think, obviously, a day like today against the Carolina bunch, I think you can use that his physicality to your advantage for sure.
Yeah, the worst rush defense in the NFL.
Come on.
And Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill are your top two backs for today.
Right, because we know that there is no Kendra Miller on IR.
And Jamal Williams is out. So
groin issue.
Yeah, correct. And it's those two, and then I think Jordan Mims is someone else that they signed to the active roster, so he'll be ready to go.
Little play there, right. But it's definitely your bulk of your carries. Obviously, Alvin, and then hopefully it's a big smattering of Taysom, because I'll tell you what, I've elevated Taysom from my fantasy roster to the starting roster.
There you go.
From my bench to the starting roster.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed. But I think it's got to be a heavy workload for Taysom. I mean, he's been back now for his second game back?
Yeah.
So without Kendra or Jamal available, you're going to have to probably lean on Taysom, because you want to be able to run the football against this team. They haven't been able to stop it without Derek Brown all year. So that's what you just got to do. You got to be able to pound it down their throats. So Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, expect both big games from both of them.
Looking at the wide receiver group, Chris Olave is back from his concussion. And a lot of talk this week, though, is he was practicing with that guardian cap on. And could we see that end up, trickling into the game? How did he feel about it? And he really wasn't sure about, if he would wear the guardian cap come game time, but was going through it with practice. It just seems like a no-brainer to me with you see a guy that's had a history of dealing with concussions. It's an issue for him right now. Seemed a little even hesitant last week, and maybe that guardian cap gives him some confidence. But I understand, too, maybe it's the most not comfortable, and it's definitely a little bit of an awkward look for guys that I don't know if they can get over.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really weird I would need to look up the stats on how much it lowers the concussion rate for players.
I believe they said it's around 52%.
Like, that seems like a no-brainer for everyone.
Right.
Especially, you see it a lot in the trenches where those guys do have contact on every single play. So, that makes sense. With Chris Olave, it would make sense. He's got a history of concussions within the last few years. He just gets lit up at times, Steve. And I know that Tua, who's had been the highest profile example of concussion issues recently, refuses to wear one. So I just don't know. Like, if you're going to keep playing, it just seems, once again, like a no-brainer to actually wear the guardian cap.
I almost feel like it's a cosmetic thing for most of the players, because they don't want to be called soft by their peers.
Whatever. I mean, deal with that later in life.
It was funny that Olave said that he did make a helmet switch and has the top-of-the-line helmet now. And that one grabbed me, too. Like, wait a minute, why don't all the players have the top-of-the-line helmet? But I guess it's a preference of comfort and what you're used to as well with the different styles.
Yeah, this wide receiver group, Steve, looking at it, Olave's the guy, right? Mason Tipton, who Mike interviewed on the Saints Hour this past week, he got to talk with him. And Mason talked about how he's getting more comfortable week to week. But this is still someone that, I mean, he's kind of been just into playing bigger snap roles because of the injury to Rashid Shaheed. And then you got Cedric Wilson, who I think is questionable for today.
Right.
He's been dealing with an injury this week as well. Bub Means gets placed on the IR. So, it's kind of slim pickings there as well.
It's really unreal to think of all the injuries that this Saints squad has dealt with. And we kind of were joking back and forth, too, the other day, texting back and forth on the injuries with not just the Saints, also the Pelicans. It's just been brutal for us, man.
There's something in the water or something, Steve. It's been awful.
Change the filter at the Ms. Benson's, team facility over there. It doesn't seem to be working for both squads.
Yeah, obviously this isn't Saints, because we're talking Pels real quick here. Four of their top six players are injured, and it was five games into the year.
Yeah.
Now we're six with the Pels getting that big win on Friday night against Indiana, which was fun. They're back to .500. But they're down with their starting point guard, they're down their starting shooting guard, starting forward, your sixth man. Four of their top six rotational pieces are out.
Do you know offhand when we're supposed to get a guy like Trey Murphy back? Because I feel like they're definitely missing that presence, that three-point pop.
I think Ali told us it was like he's targeting potentially the game against the Nets, which is coming up pretty soon.
Okay.
I'll get that exactly.
All right, so it's not too far off, because you're just looking, obviously, names missing. I know it's going to be a while till DeJounte Murray's healed up from that break.
Yeah, he's been cleared to return to practice. Let me double-check the date.
Looking at the Pels squad in action tonight, a 6 p.m. tip in the Smoothie King Center with the Atlanta Hawks in town. So we won't even get to see DeJounte taking on his former squad.
That's unfortunate.
Looking at the team, though, hopefully they can build on a win on Friday against the Pacers. And suddenly, you start manifesting things a little at your little, you have a home, stand right now. And they need all this positive oomph during this part to rebuild after a rough road stand to start the year. And, the injuries have been a huge question, obviously. But the one guy who has looked healthy and has been a lot better, Zion Williamson, also, I'll say, with injuries. Brandon Ingram's been pretty stout for this team.
All right. So real quick, Steve, that Nets game is on the 11th, November 11th. So
That's the last thing we'll say about the Pels.
All right, so eight more days till we can maybe get
Trey. I think what they're targeting. As far as we got a text asking, just tune in, is our new wide receiver going to be suited up for today's game? Marquez Valdes-Scantling? I'm not sure. He was signed before the game last week.
Yeah, obviously, I believe he is in the mix for today's game. Obviously, we'll find out when we get Deuce on for the injury update.
Yeah, so I think you'll probably see. But he wasn't on the injury report this week.
No, not at all.
But he wasn't on the injury report last week, and he didn't play.
Right, it was just a matter of he had enough time to catch up in this offense to be put on the field. I think Valdes-Scantling, or are we going to call him, what, MVS? Make it a lot easier. He'll be ready to go in this game, having enough time to catch up to speed. So I would assume Olave is your number one, and then Scantling is number two.
Olave and Tipton, Scantling's going to be in that mix.
Cedric Wilson, right.
Like, that's kind of what you're looking at in the passing attack. So, you know, it was kind of interesting. One of the best parts about Rattler and Hayner was their usage of the tight end position, right? Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau. And maybe if they can get more involved as well. I mean, the tight end spot was one that I really kind of slammed entering the year. Just like, they've kind of ignored it. Like, they signed Foster Moreau, you know, they gave money to Juwan Johnson as a former undrafted free agent, but they haven't really gotten the dude there. And obviously, you know, we're seeing what Brock Bowers is doing in his rookie year at Las Vegas. I'm not saying that, like, look, Taliese Fuaga has been great as well. Man, I would really like to have a legit tight end. So, but at the same time, when you have these banged up receivers and Chris Olave is basically the guy, you got to have to incorporate Juwan and Foster as well.
You're just bitter from 2 years ago when they didn't draft a tight end.
I'm still angry about that. I mean, geez.
That was quite a... Obviously, you know, we talked to our draft analyst and specialist and Mike Dettillier, who raved about how it was the best draft I think he's ever seen in the tight end class in 2023, and we got Zippo out of it.
Tucker Kraft's doing pretty well in Green Bay, and Dalton Kincaid's doing pretty well in Buffalo. You know, Sam Laporta.
Beast.
Yeah. Jeez. It was a great draft class to get a tight end, and the Saints just didn't.
Oh, well, next time.
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, getting to you some of your calls here on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. How you feeling heading into today's game? You hopeful? You looking forward to the matchup against a Panther squad to get back in the win column? Or I know a lot of folks are kind of like, eh, we should just lose out so we improve the draft pick. Why try and get to be a playoff team right now when things are looking so grim? But want to hear from you folks. 504-260-1870. Your thoughts when we get back right here on First Take after the break on WWL. Wake up, Hoodats. It is game day. First Take here on WWL. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. The Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up next. 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. A noon start in Carolina. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak on the call against the Panthers. It's Black and Gold Bunch desperately in need of snapping a six-game losing skid. Jimmy on Gretna on the line for is going to start things off. What you got for us today, Jimmy? How you feeling about today's game?
I'm tired, dude. This time change got me shook, brother. I've been up since 3 a.m. man. It's got me stressed out. All this sunlight. I will say, and you know, Charlie, we've talked about this. You know, I bleed black and gold. Whether it's my Southern Miss Golden Eagles or it's my Saints. You know, Southern Miss football fired their coach about 2 weeks ago midseason. We were 1-7. Rumor is we're looking at Coach O. We'll see. Hopefully, Coach O, if you're listening to the big station here, come on down to Hattiesburg, all right? We're ready for you.
Go Eagles. Look,
all I'm saying is, yeah, hey, look, listen, if it was needed, I'm not saying Dennis Allen needs to be fired midseason. I don't see it happening. But I do think today, against an opponent that is lesser than us.
Yep.
It's a must-win game. But at the same time, every player in the NFL is good, right? Every player was all Big Ten, all Big 12, all SEC, this and that. Anything can happen. It's going to come down to turnovers. I feel confident with Derek Carr coming back, we're going to win. And then we go into two important home games against the rivals in the Falcons next week, and then Jameis Winston coming to town 2 weeks. Right? Is that right? November 17th, I think it is. So we got so the next couple games, it all comes down to today. I do think that if we don't win today, the season's over, and the rest is just for fun and giggles and all that kind of stuff. So it's a must-win game, and it kind of leads us into the next two big home games against, again, our biggest rival and the guy that we kind of, you know,
tossed aside.
You know, Yeah, I mean, we did toss Jameis aside. I wasn't ever the biggest fan of his. He didn't really get a chance. Neither did Taysom Hill after Drew Brees, you know. And it's just now we're here. And look, listen, you guys know I'm a fan of Spencer Rattler. I know a lot of Saints fans are like, well, we know he's not the future. But you got to realize that, one, he's a rookie. Number two, he was playing behind a very porous offensive line. So we got to keep that in mind. Those three games helped him in a way. But, you know, you learn by trial and error and trial by fire. So I'm still confident. I like him. And, you know, Derek, we're stuck with Carr. I want to get your take on this. With all the rumors about Lattimore possibly being on the trade block, I know we just signed Kamara, but that doesn't mean that he won't be traded because now we have him under contract. Other teams might want to be interested. What do you think is going to happen going into next year if we do get a new coach, one that's not as in love, quote-unquote, with Derek Carr as, say, Dennis Allen was with his Raider years and all that?
Right.
Do you foresee a quarterback change, considering how much his contract is guaranteed? What do you see happening going into next year maybe with Derek Carr?
Appreciate the call, Jimmy. And with Jameis Winston, too, I feel like he rode his ticket out of town by changing the victory formation play for that touchdown play right there. So he had his shot here and kind of said, to me at least, I don't want to be here because I'm not going to listen to the head coach, and you just can't keep that around.
So, real quick.
Right, as for the Derek Carr scenario.
Before we get to Derek Carr,
okay.
The Saints get a little bit of quarterback luck by playing Bryce Young today. I think they get unlucky by playing Jameis Winston in a couple weeks. Deshaun Watson was like the worst quarterback in the NFL. He was awful.
But I feel like Jameis will revert back to Jameis.
Yeah, maybe so. And maybe he'll throw a couple of lollipops up there for the Saints DBs to go get whoever is playing DB at that point. As far as the Lattimore news goes, real quick, Jimmy, before we get to Carr, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm not exactly sure if he will get traded. Apparently, a couple teams, John Hendricks of Sports Illustrated was reporting on this, that the Chiefs are interested.
Oh boy. In Lattimore?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Oh boy, if the Chiefs get Lattimore. As if their defense isn't already good enough. Oh my goodness. So, but at the same time, the quote, and once again, I'm paraphrasing this, the quote from Loomis is that he's not going to trade players for undervalued offers.
Right.
So, if they want Lattimore, pay up. Now, it's not a seller's market right now. That's the issue. It's a buyer's market. So what really is the price tag for someone like Lattimore?
Well, the problem too with Lattimore, obviously the injury history of late is not going to give you top dollar either, or top value, I should say, for the player.
Yeah, and as far as Carr goes, I think he's here for another year regardless, just based off his contract. So, I mean, you have him in the black and gold next year. I think even if they do get a new coach, I think he's still going
to ride it out with the vet.
I think he's still going to be the quarterback for next year, and mostly because if things really do bottom out, it's not a good quarterback class, Steve. And based off of what Loomis has said about both Haener and Rattler, they think that they like both of those young guys that just need some more time.
We're going to get into some of what Dez Johnson had to say from the Locked On Panthers podcast. How is he feeling about another lost season already for this Panther squad?
I don't know. It's to the point where we're kind of getting used to it, but that's the sad thing about it, that we're getting used to it here in the Carolinas. On one hand, we're kind of like, we kind of knew coming in that they were going to have to strip this down to the studs. And I think we got optimistic with some of the offseason moves they made that they could be competitive. But then once injuries and stuff set in, the first really 2-3 weeks of the season, especially on defense to main defensive starters like, you know, Shaq Thompson, Derrick Brown, once those guys, like leaders in the locker room on the defensive side, fell, then it just became a matter of the Panthers can't stop anybody. Like they can't stop anyone. And then with the latest stuff with Andy getting hurt and Bryce back in, and the fans are divided between letting Bryce play the whole year or just whatever. And so we'll see how this experiment plays out here in Carolina.
The experiment in Carolina has been going miserably right now for their black and blue bunch.
Yes. And so David Tepper has been the major nightmare.
One of the worst owners you consider now in the NFL.
I think he's probably the worst at this point. He wants a medal and everything. He wants everything, instant gratification, and it just hasn't been working out. So he's going to keep on firing every coach and keep on picking, you know, the players that he wants to pick, and it's just not worked out.
First Take winding down here on WWL, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up next with the Cajun Cannon. Going to take a break. When we do return, we'll get some of Deuce McAllister's thoughts about the winning culture on this team when we return. So stay tuned on WWL First Take after this. Wrapping up here, First Take coming up next. Stay tuned, Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Who dat?
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app